Welcome to the Gemini Observatory's special podcast series highlighting discoveries and wonders of our universe. Dr. Emily Schaller is here to talk to us about a study she was involved in of the weather systems of Saturn's moon Titan. First, I'd like to start with hearing a little bit more about your background.
Okay, well, I recently graduated from Caltech with a degree in planetary science. And following that, I did a year of a postdoc, a Hubble Fellowship at the Institute for Astronomy at the University of Hawaii. And recently, only about 3 weeks ago, I moved to the University of Arizona, where I'm continuing my postdoctoral work.
What is it about Titan that you find so compelling?
Well, Titan is a really interesting place. It is the only moon in our solar system that has a thick atmosphere. And it's also the only place other than Earth that actually has a meteorological cycle, including clouds and rain. And so when you look at pictures of the surface of Titan, they actually look remarkably similar to pictures of the surface of Earth. They have features like lakes and rivers and sand dunes. But the thing that makes Titan different from the Earth is that the substance that forms clouds and rains down on the surface is not water, but it's actually methane or natural gas. So it's actually so cold on Titan that liquid methane takes on the role that liquid water has on Earth. So by studying Titan, we're able to study a meteorological cycle that is in some ways very similar to our own, but in other ways extremely different.
I understand that Titan fooled you. Is that the story I heard about?
Yeah. So when I started my dissertation at Caltech, Titan had pretty regularly a fair amount of cloud activity located near the South Pole. But as soon as I really got into my dissertation, the cloud activity pretty much stopped for about almost 3 years. So I had these programs set up to monitor Titan for these large storms, which we knew had occurred because there was a storm back in 1995, and there was also one in 2004 when I first started at Caltech. But pretty much as soon as I started monitoring it on a nearly nightly basis in order to catch these storms, Titan's cloud activity decreased by a lot. And so for most of my dissertation, I had little to no cloud activity in the data that I was getting. But actually, on the day that I handed in my dissertation, this large storm happened that we're talking about today. So it was quite a surprise.
So what can this research tell us about weather on planets and moons in general?
As I said, Titan is the only other place in the solar system other than Earth with a meteorological cycle. One of the other interesting things that we found out about this storm is that about 3 days after the initial onset of the large cloud activity in the tropics and mid latitudes, we also observed clouds near the South Pole. And this indicates that storms in one location can trigger cloud activity in other locations, which is something that also occurs on Earth. And so we were able to see how this works on Titan, which was a really interesting thing to observe.
Can you explain how these observations were made and how other observatories played a part in these observations?
Yeah, so we knew from observations going back to the 1990s that occasionally Titan's clouds brighten dramatically for periods of a few weeks. But we didn't know what caused these brightenings or how frequently they occurred because Titan was only observed, you know, very infrequently. So in order to catch these short-lived cloud increases, we developed a program with the NASA Infrared Telescope Facility, the IRTF, to monitor Titan on a nearly nightly basis. And the IRTF data is great because it has the ability to tell us if Titan brightens up or gets cloudy. But it can't tell us the locations of the clouds because we can't resolve the disk of Titan with the IRTF. When we observe a brightening with the IRTF, which again does not happen that frequently, we can then trigger an adaptive optics observation with the Gemini telescope. And so adaptive optics is a technology that enables us to remove most of the effects of atmospheric distortion. So we're able to resolve Titan's disk and actually see the latitudes and longitudes of where the clouds are on Titan. And so it was this combination of the nightly or the near nightly observations with IRTF followed by the rapid follow-up with Gemini, which was what made the discovery of this large cloud system and its subsequent evolution possible.
And in particular, in working with Gemini, what other things did you feel really helped these observations?
There were many things about Gemini that made it really ideally suited for these observations. First, the infrared capabilities allow us to peer through Titan's thick haze and actually see down to Titan's surface and lower atmosphere. And then second, the adaptive optics system allowed us to actually resolve Titan's disk by eliminating a lot of the distortion that is caused by the Earth's atmosphere. And then finally, the really key thing was the fact that Gemini is Q-scheduled and it has a target of opportunity program. This is what allowed us to quickly trigger these observations. So we observed with IRTF on a nightly basis, and we don't generally see a lot of cloud activity, but when we do, we're able to then trigger the next night with Gemini and follow up on the storm as long as it lasts with these Q-scheduled observations. So I think it was the combination of all of these things that really made Gemini so such a great telescope to use for this project.
Do you have any plans for the future to follow up on this result?
Definitely. We're planning on continuing both monitoring programs with IRTF and Gemini. And this is because we've only observed Titan for a very small fraction of its year. Titan's year is 30 years long. And so we've basically observed Titan for the equivalent of December through March. So we need to continue to monitor Titan throughout other seasons in order to determine how the meteorological cycle is going to evolve throughout its 30-year-long year.
Well, thank you very much, Emily. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to hearing more of your discoveries in the future.
Oh, thank you. It's been great talking to you, too.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast brought to you by the Gemini Observatory. Thank you for listening.